Hello and welcome to a new episode of Ukraine Calling. I'm Bohdan Nahailo for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. This week, we're taking a little trip down memory lane and looking forward. Marta Dychuk speaks to two of Hromadske Radio's key people, co-founder and head of the board, Andriy Kulikov, and executive director, Kirill Lukarenko. She asks them to reflect on what Hromadske Radio was, what it's been doing for 5 years, and especially what its role was during the Euromaidan protests and what challenges the radio faces now. But first, the news. Hundreds of Ukrainians on November the 22nd marked 5 years since the Maidan Revolution, which ousted a pro-Moscow government, and in retaliation for which Russia annexed Crimea and began a war in the east of the country. President Poroshenko and senior members of the government laid candles at a temporary memorial for the Heavenly Hundred, as those who died during the protests are known. Former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych did not appear before a court in Kyiv because of injuries he claims were sustained on a Moscow tennis court, his lawyer said. Yanukovych, quote, cannot appear in court seeing as he has been hospitalized, end of quote, and is unable to move due to spinal and knee injuries, the lawyer Alexander Goroshinsky said. And Ukraine and the world have been commemorating the Holodomor. On the 24th of November, Ukraine and the international community commemorated the Holodomor Memorial Day. In 1932-33, millions of Ukrainians, children, women and men were murdered by the Soviet regime of Joseph Stalin. This year is the 85th anniversary of this genocide of the Ukrainian people. In 1932-33, the totalitarian Soviet communist regime sentenced the Ukrainian nation, in effect, to death by starvation. Millions died because, in effect, of Ukrainian people's aspiration for independence, their desire to speak their language and maintain their culture and traditions. A special conference devoted to this theme was held in Kyiv, an international one. And on the 24th of November, President Poroshenko led solemn commemorative events, which were attended by the presidents of Latvia and Slovakia and other foreign dignitaries. Britain will increase military support for Ukraine as the country continues to face Russian aggression, the Defense Secretary announced. Additional troops and a Royal Navy ship will be deployed to Ukraine to defend, quote, freedom and democracy, unquote. Ukrainian Special Forces and Marines will be trained by British personnel and HMS Echo, a Royal Navy hydrographic survey ship with a company of 72, which will be deployed to the region. The Ukrainian Parliament has appointed Oksana Makarova as finance minister nearly half a year after her predecessor, Oleksandr Danilyuk, who was interviewed on this program, was sacked following a public spat with the Ukrainian leadership over corruption issues. Makarova, who was nominated by Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman, has served as acting minister since June and been a key negotiator with the International Monetary Fund about a new standby loan.
5 years ago this week, Ukrainians began taking to the streets in what would become known as the Euromaidan protests. Hromadske Radio, Public Radio Ukraine, was just a few months old back then. It was a small grassroots project, volunteer project, that appeared in response to the state and corporate censorship that existed in Ukraine back then. It was one of the very few independent media outlets that existed at the time. When the protests began, Hromadske Radio's journalists started going down to the Maidan and asking people why they were there. And they recorded these voices, these people's public opinion, and created a really valuable record of what people were thinking at the time as events were unfolding. With us today, we have two key people from Hromadske Radio, Andriy Kulikov, who is the co-founder and the head of the board, and Kirill Lukarenko, the executive director. We've reached Mr. Kulikov in Kyiv and Mr. Lukarenko in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for finding the time to speak to us. I'd like to start with Andriy Kulikov. Mr. Kulikov, you were on the Maidan recording voices regularly. One of the more poignant recordings you made were on the night of November the 30th, which was when news broke that Ukraine was not going to be signing the association agreement. And you went down there in the middle of the night and you spoke to people who were still there. Do you happen to remember the mood at the time?
The mood was rather calm. People thought that they have paid their due to the protest. And I think that they looked for an opportunity to continue their work by other means. And I do not remember any anxiety or huge anxiety among them. It was rather a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Of course, they were resolute to continue their work, to continue their protest, but it was not a fierce mood.
Well, one of the people you spoke to, Victoria Sumar, she said something that I think was prophetic. She said, "I think the Maidan has just begun," which, as we see, was actually what happened. The next morning, you were also recording voices of people because between the two interviews that you did, the protests got broken up. And the next morning, you were at the Mikhailovsky monastery speaking to people who had survived the breaking up of the Maidan, as it were. Another really interesting report you did was you visited the anti-Maidan, which was one of the very few reports at the time of what was happening on the pro-Yanukovych protests. After the Maidan ended and the war began, there's been mixed reporting about what's happening in Ukraine and what's happening in the areas that are not occupied by Ukraine or not controlled by Ukraine. Do you feel that Ukraine's media has done enough to report both sides of what's happening in this current conflict?
Honestly, I can't judge because I cannot give an assessment to the entire Ukrainian media. On the other hand, the fact that I'm in two minds about this probably suggests that not enough was done. I only can say that the feeling of incompleteness of what we were doing was characteristic of many, many colleagues. And to what Ms. Sumar said at the time, and you quoted, I can add a very thoughtful words of Kirill Lukyanenko, who is on the other end now. He wrote a letter to us who were then working for Hromadske Radio, where he said, "We slept through the revolution." He was the first person, at least among people whom I know, who used the word revolution in relation to the events. And of course, I think he was exaggerating in this because we, and he in particular, did not sleep for the revolution. We woke right at the time. And since this letter, we started to really unfold our operation.
Well, Hromadske Radio was one of the few independent media outlets before the Euromaidan, and now five years have passed. What have you been doing over the past 5 years? What have you accomplished, and what do you feel the challenges still are that are facing independent media outlets like Hromadske Radio?
We were steadily unfolding our operation. We were gaining in authority and popularity, and more and more other media outlets started to quote what we got to know from our guests and from our news service. And I think that we have matured. We have grown, of course, where the ways and means of what we are doing are concerned. On the other hand, I think that there's still a lot to be done. One of our problems being that we are kept away from really good waves and frequencies, although we apply constantly or regularly. For them, I think there's an interest among people engaged in commercial and public broadcasting to keep Romanska Radio away. And one of the reasons may be that we try to be really independent.
Independent radio. Journalism is under threat in many countries. We live in now what many people call the post-truth era. How is this manifested for a radio station in Ukraine? How is this perhaps different from what's happening in other countries, or are the challenges the same?
I don't know so much about other countries, and I do not recognize the term post-truth. For me, it's still either truth or no truth. Either there is truth or there is no truth. And all these things about post-truth, fake news, and other stuff is just a set of terms which is called upon to cover unprofessionalism or the lack of professionalism among us and other people. So the biggest challenge today, I think, is not to invent other terms to justify our lack of quality, but to consistently work to the utmost quality.
So it's up to the journalists to perform their function properly rather than look for excuses.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So why is radio important?
Radio is a natural means of promoting democracy, of offering the biggest possible means of communication between different people. And it is very fast, and it does not usually impose ideas. It offers ideas to choose from.
Ukraine is now on the receiving end of a war, and parts of the country have been occupied. That means there's challenges in providing accurate information to those areas. In what way can radio, or has radio been a player in this game?
Well, radio, and I've seen this with my own eyes and heard this with my own ears when I was in those areas, radio sometimes is the only available means of getting information when you're close to the front line or in other areas devastated by war or some other disaster. You cannot get television there. The internet does not work, and the telephony is really dangerous because you can aim your rockets according to the telephone signal. And then there's radio, which reaches far and deep and which people tend to listen to.
How do you maintain journalistic standards in conditions of war?
My view is that they should be intact. If we allow ourselves to sacrifice some journalistic standards during war, then it will be much harder to come back to them after the war ends.
Do you feel that journalists in Ukraine are aiming to maintain these standards?
Excuse me?
Do you feel that journalists in Ukraine aim to maintain standards in conditions of war?
Yeah, very many of us are. Very many of us do aim to do this. But journalists are different, as media is different. And, there is a constant discussion about correlation between professionalism and patriotism, all this kind of stuff. It's hard to foretell how this will end because it's probably for the first time that we find ourselves in this sort of situation. But I think that there's enough feeling of responsibility among Ukrainian journalists to push them in the right direction.
Where are the pressures coming from? And you can speak about Hromadske radio specifically or journalism in Ukraine more broadly.
Come again?
Where are the pressures coming from, the challenges that you're facing as journalists? Are there any pressures, or where are they coming from? And this, again, for Hromadske radio or journalists in general in Ukraine?
No, I do not think that we in Hromadske radio separate ourselves from the rest of colleagues. Of course, there are specifics about our work, just as there are specifics about work of other media outlets. Pressures come from all kinds of sources, and sometimes benevolent attitude towards you can also be a pressure when you start to try to please those people who treat you well. So, and some of the pressure comes from within when you try to outperform yourself. This is also one of the problems that we have to cope with. But I have to stop at this point.
Thank you very much for finding the time to speak to us.
Thank you, Marta. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Kirill. Bye-bye.
Bye. Kirill, are you still there?
Yep, I was listening.
Okay.
It was very profound, and really it's a pleasure to work with such people like Andriy.
Indeed it is, and people like you. So I'd like to ask Mr. Kirill Lukyanenko a few questions, who is currently on a fellowship in Washington, but 5 years ago was down on the Maidan in Kyiv. Mr. Lukyanenko, you were on the Maidan on the first day when the protests broke out. Why did you decide to go down there? What were you asking people? What do you remember them telling you?
Well, it was a situation when you, well, me actually, I was not able to be anywhere else. And it was a very acute situation. It was a feeling of injustice. You just open your Facebook and you see your friends, the people whom you respect. They say, yeah, I have to be there. We do not trust to the government of Yanukovych. We do want to be a part of Europe. So let's get together and let's think and do something to avert this this other not European choice. So basically, well, I was not able to think of anything else on that evening.
One of the people you spoke to was Yuri Lutsenko. Igor Lutsenko. And I don't know if you'll remember this, but you asked him, why are you here? What did you have planned for tonight? And he said that he had actually a romantic dinner planned for the evening. But when he heard the news breaking, he felt he compelled to go down to the Maidan. Do you feel that a lot of people put aside their personal plans to get involved in politics at the time and since those events began?
I think that many people put aside their, choices and businesses for that evening. But I would say that in case of Igor Lutsenko, he was an activist before, and for him it was a logical continuation of his actually previous work and his previous way of life. And Igor Lutsenko is an MP, people's deputy, and he is in the Ukrainian parliament right now, presenting democratic and nationalistic opinion, or presenting people with democratic and nationalist beliefs in Verkhovna Rada. So I remember many faces of people whom I was talking at that evening. And not only him, it was some other people, like political technologists, some students. And for them, to understand what was happening at that moment, you just have to bear in mind what was happening in Ukraine a year before, 2 years before, 2 years before. Well, it was 2012. It was parliamentary elections in Ukraine. I believe that the parliamentary elections of 2012 were not fair. And many people did feel same at the time. So it was, you know, it was a moment when you just felt that, well, the situation was going in very wrong direction, starting maybe from 2010 with election, with second election of Yanukovych, and then you just felt that the country was moving towards something really undesirable, and the election of 2012 just put stress on it. You just saw those thugs who were on the voting stations, preventing people from doing their choice, or just manipulating the election process. So it was in 2013. It was a logical point when you just felt that things were not good and they were moving to a wrong direction. So it was your natural decision to be there on that evening.
Thank you for reminding us what things were like before 2013, because I think a lot of people have forgotten what censorship was like and how there was a complete lack of political freedoms. After the Euromaidan, many things have changed, and Ihor Lutsenko, who you mentioned, was an activist. He's now become a member of parliament. Victoria Sumar, who was also somebody who had been an activist, she's also become a member of parliament. So a lot of changes have occurred as a result of the Euromaidan. Let's talk a little bit about how Hromadske Radio has changed. Because before the Euromaidan, it was a very small volunteer project. And now it has, 5 years later, become quite an important, larger project. Can you tell us how the sort of after the Euromaidan, how Hromadske Radio has changed?
Yeah, we were just really a tiny group of people, tiny group of journalists and
volunteers. You were paid back then, right?
Yeah, we were not paid at all. We were actually contributing our own money for setting up our first website, for recording some first interviews. It was 100% volunteering work, and we were actually, all of us were working on some other employments. We were doing some other jobs to sustain ourselves and. Actually, our free time we were devoting to Hromadske Radio. So it was a moment when we decided to organize Hromadske Radio. And now, you know, many similar groups who occurred during the Euromaidan, they did not survive. And we are still alive and kicking. And the biggest challenge actually is that we changed. We became a professional radio and website organization. So now we are a professional media operating 17 frequencies. Around the eastern Ukraine, mostly it's Donbas, but also Kyiv and Dnipro and some other small towns across Ukraine. So we have a very, very good website, and we have web applications, and we are on many platforms across internet. So. We definitely we grew And we now have a team which actually contributes to the general media discourse in Ukraine. And we are frequently quoted by other media organizations. And we are actually quite popular as a podcaster. I would say that we are podcaster number one in Ukraine in terms of the quality of our podcasts and in terms of quantity as well. However, we have this situation when we need to come to sustainable operations. So instead of this team of like-minded volunteers, we need to sustain operations and we need to survive for many years. And basically now we have this very important turning point from that volunteering team to a team of professionals doing their job on a very, I would say, long distance run. So we at the moment we are, I would say, in the middle of transformation towards that new, more professional in terms of sustainability modus of operations.
Something I asked Andriy Kulikov, and I'd like your opinion on this, is what are the challenges for serious media outlets in an environment where there's a lot of fake news, there's a lot of infotainment, and it's difficult to get audiences and people's attention to focus on serious issues? How does Hromadske Radio challenge that, or is that a challenge? How do you deal with that challenge?
When you see how other media organizations cope with the situation, you just, I don't know, I see what BBC World Service, BBC website is doing. They are actually becoming much more light. They provide audience with some lightweight news. They are trying to reach some audiences who does not apt to receiving serious news. So possibly this is one way when you provide the audience with diverse pieces of news, including so-called lighter news, and you are trying to add some more serious pieces of news to those. So this is one approach. Another approach is just to remind Another approach is just to remain a serious medium among some more popular or populist approaches. Actually, I don't know what is the better way. And there are some discussions inside Hromadske Radio. How should we do? And we are trying to do some other different approaches. Try to check how to talk to the audience, because the audience on the web it's not exactly the audience on the radio 20 years ago. And people are different. There are some younger people who actually grew watching YouTube and posting in Instagram, and they basically you need to talk to them too.
Yes,
and you,
I mean, sorry to interrupt. This is something that my students and I are discussing: is how to have substantive news that is interesting to listen to or watch. And I think that's one of the challenges facing both Hromadske Radio, BBC, and all serious media outlets. Another serious question is the financial one, that a lot of traditional media outlets are facing financial difficulties, again, in attracting audiences. What is Hromadske Radio doing to address this financial challenge?
For Hromadske Radio, this year was really, it's almost near the finish, so I can actually speak about an entire year. It's a quite difficult year for us. We were pretty much thinking about sustainability. Our financing was not really what we expected for. So at the moment, we are actually thinking about some changes in terms of sustainability, in terms of how to manage the organization in the future. It looks like we came to a consensus that we need to build a financially feasible organization which has to get financing from different sources, because right now we rely on grants and crowdfunding. However, we need to develop some sales and marketing department in order to sustain us also on money from sponsorship and possibly advertising. So we need this to have this additional ways to sustain this station.
So you're right now, sorry, you're building a new model basically, and in the interim,
we had a strategic session which finalized in a new model. So and now we are trying to realize this model. However, we are not giving up on the usual ways of sustainability. And right now, actually, we are having a crowdfunding campaign in Ukraine, and it's on Spilnokosht website, and our listeners can actually contribute their
make contributions.
Help.
We'll post a link to that. But for North Americans, or people outside of Ukraine,
for North Americans, it's not easy. It's not so easy to, well, due to some I would say technical problems, it's not easy to support us via Spilnokosht. So we are trying to launch another campaign on Facebook. And actually, this is, I hope just in a few days, we launch another campaign. Well, Facebook provides us with this new feature, and we will use it. Our colleagues from Razum for Ukraine were successfully using that feature if a number of occasions, and they were successful. It looks like the it's easy to operate, and it's also safe for you as a contributor. At least there are no situations which raise doubts about
security.
Security of the operation. So wait for a couple of days. We'll launch it on Facebook.
Wonderful. Well, we will be watching for it as soon as it appears. We'll post a link on our website. Mr. Lukyanenko, thank you very much for finding the time to speak to us. And we'll be looking forward to see how the new model works. Thank you very much.
And moving on to music. Well, Hromadske Radio has a new music show called Tut i Zaraz, which means here and now. This week they featured the band The Vjo. Here's one of their songs, Padaju v nebo, Falling into the Sky. Enjoy.
Клоуни тебе смішні новини, добрі веселі. Літню спеку засніжило, узимку квітнуть квіти, коли є з тобою все можливо. На цьому світі, коли я з тобою, хвиля щастя на крилах. Ніх не відчувають, як ніби літаю на крилах. Гравітація зникає поблизу тебе, коли я з тобою. Я падаю у небо, з тобою падаю у небо. Падаю у небо, з тобою падаю у небо. Наче в раю, солодко співаю і дурниць не милю. А якщо й милю, то так натхненно завзято. Ти буденні дні перетворила на справжнє свято. Посмішка твоя яскравіша за сонце. Іноді запитую себе, чи не сонце. Прокидатись коло тебе — це все, що треба, коли я з тобою. Я падаю у небо, з тобою падаю у небо. Падаю у небо, з тобою падаю у небо. Падаю у небо. Падаю у небо.
Looking forward, well, Hromadske Radio unfortunately is facing a financial crunch, and it's appealing to listeners for support. Should you feel inclined to donate to keep this project going, please see the links we'll post on our site to the crowdfunding and Facebook initiative. We'll be back hopefully next week with a new program, and thanks for listening, and we hope you listen then. This is Bohdan Nahailo for Hromadske Radio. Thanks so much for listening.